Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to talk today about the prayer from Ephesians chapter 1 from St. Paul. We'll look at some apostolic prayers that the apostles prayed, as well as their vision of what God has accomplished for us. It's so good for us to keep circling back to these things, because as we live through challenging, difficult, unpredictable, uncomfortable, discouraging, confusing times where we lack a sense of control and maybe even direction, and the future is just so uncertain, it's crucial that we lay hold of and are living in and living from our identity in terms of what Christ has done for us and what he's promised to us, and holding on to the promises, standing on those, and living from them. It's a really important way in which the Lord gives us the strength that we need. Now, yesterday, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I was talking about the solemnity of the body and blood of the Lord that we celebrated on Sunday, and just spent the time talking about the Eucharist and its centrality. And not only does the Eucharist feed us, which you talk about, not only is it the gathering of the people of God to offer thanks to the Father from our heart, uniting our thanksgiving with that of Jesus, it is really the place, friends, that we are gathered to be fed and strengthened, but also to be taught by the Lord. His example is for us critical to be able to see. And his relationship to this world, his willingness to let go of this world, whatever it costs, in order to fulfill the Father's commands and to fulfill the Father's purpose for him. And he showed us what it means to put God first, which is absolutely crucial. And I think personally that part of the Lord's plan for his people during this time of trial, which he's permitted to have happen in his will, and what he wants for us is for our good. He wants us to grow and to be purified, and there's some redemptive discipline that's happening in us by the Lord. The Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and he wants our attention, and he wants us to put first things first. And friends, one of the downsides in living in a country that has been so intensely blessed materially and almost in every other way, it's easy for us to set up other things as our first love without even deciding for it. We just get habituated to it. And we start moving and actually living from idols and for idols in a way that we may not admit to ourselves, but it's there. And the Lord gets displaced. He kind of gets moved into second place or third place in our lives. And then we lose sight of who we are, because we're actually giving ourselves to something else, which is another way of saying we're worshiping something else. We're making something else more ultimate for us than it should be. And so God permits stuff to happen to detach us from things that we've put in the wrong place, because he wants to align us for our ultimate purpose, because he has our happiness in mind. He has our absolute eternal life in mind. And so the apostles lived from it. They were such great examples for us to see how do we live in the world and not be of the world, not to be worldly, to love what God loves in this world, and to be fixed and focused on knowing who we are, secure in the Lord, no matter what kind of trial that we're facing. And it settles the heart, it brings confidence and joy and security, and it allows us to flourish in difficult times when we have to more radically rely on the Lord and not just rely on what we can get to have happen, or what we can accomplish, or the priorities that we've set up for ourselves and the things that we value. So the whole first chapter, first part of it is a glorious hymn. We've talked about it in the past on the program, and I hope to talk about it more in the future, because it's so great. I want to jump into verse 7, chapter 1. In him, we have redemption through his blood. We talked about that yesterday, which is why the church, he's given the church the Eucharist, the place where his body's real food, his blood is real drink. He represents for us the reality of what Paul is talking about here, the redemption. We've been bought back. We've been redeemed. We've been taken, been saved. Sin's been blotted out. He said, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. This is so big. And again, the kind of thing that can just pass us by, you know, what has separated us from God, what has produced the death problem is the sin problem, is our conniving with sin, our participation in sin. Baptism has dealt ultimately with the stain and the power of original sin. But as we go through life, we know there's venial sins, there's mortal sins, we're tempted, and we can actually sin mortally, where it kills our spiritual life. And I think it's not uncommon today for baptized people to sin mortally, separate themselves from God, because they're just, the world leads us into that direction. And if we're not standing against the tide, if we're not battling against it, if we're not with alert minds and a sense of urgency, taking on each day in the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's actually pretty easy to drift that way without even thinking about it, actually getting reinforced in it by the broader culture. So you receive the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. So what are the riches of His grace? The riches of His grace is the offer of Jesus for the sake of our salvation. Right? The mercy of God. We stood under condemnation. Jesus offers Himself for us. We're no longer under condemnation. And in the beauty and the grace of Christ's offering, we're made children of God as we're united to it in baptism. And it's overwhelming what we've been given. Our destiny now is completely changed. And God lavished upon us. He could not have given us. We could not receive a greater gift. You think about the greatest gift you can imagine being given from here on earth by somebody, by a country, by, you know, whoever, no matter how great the gift is, it doesn't even compare to what we've been given in Christ. This is where the Holy Spirit has to help us become clearer thinkers and to be able to value things, to evaluate or to put a valuation on things according to their true value. It's so easy in this world to run after the things of this earth, sometimes at the cost of not paying attention to who we are, not growing in the Lord, not living again in and from what He's given to us, and we settle for so much less. This is the grace of an apostolic mind here. St. Paul can see so clearly for us. He says, "For He has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ, the will of the Father to save us, to make us His children." As the apostles say, we beheld His glory, the glory of the only Son of God. Beloved, we are God's children now. He's given us power to become children of God. Biggest thing in your life and mine is the reality that we've become children of God. And this growing up in Christ as being sons and daughters of God is the most important thing that happens to our life here on earth. And again, the saints show us, the saints remind us just how far a human being can go who radically sets his or her heart on the promises of God and receives that grace by putting first things first in their life. And this purpose of God, as Paul says, unfolded in the fullness of time, and that is to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. Think of how divided we are. Maybe division is one of the things that defines human life. No matter how hard we try to produce something to the contrary, look at how divided the world is. Look at how divided nations are. Look at how divided our politics are. Look at how divided institutions are. Look how divided families are. Look at how divided marriages are. Why is that? Well, take one step farther. Look at how divided your own heart is. Look at how divided we are internally. That's the sin-sick condition of the human heart. And Jesus said, I'm coming to give you a new heart. He's coming to do something no one in the world can do, to unite all things I mean, real unity, real peace, one heart, one mind. Only Christ can accomplish it. Now, there's going to be an Antichrist who arises someday. Could happen in our time. We certainly are living in apostolic times. We're in the last hour, anyway, the church teaches us. But there will be a time when a real historical person is going to rise, is going to be empowered demonically to bring about peace, to bring about unity in a divided earth at the price of apostasy to Jesus. It's fool's gold. It's a lie. And large numbers of society, so desperate for unity, are going to be suckered by this Antichrist figure and those who are at his service. And they're going to be seduced by him through profound deception, through working on his part of signs and wonders to dazzle us, but at the end of the day, to bring about what looks like peace. People, oh, finally, politicians have tried, and we can't bring... Just think about the... Just one example is the amount of work over the last 25 years the United States has put into the Israeli and Palestinian conflict to try to bring peace to that situation, and how hostile it is, how divided it is, how confused it is. Ultimately, friends, only Christ can bring about a full unity. But there will come a time before the Lord's coming when this Antichrist figure will rise, and it'll look like he's pulled it off. He's pulled off the unity and his authority, and before you know it, what people are going to follow him in large numbers. And if you're not alive in Christ, if you're not aware of the biblical storyline of what the apostles have taught us, what Jesus has said, we're going to miss it. There will be signs that fulfill exactly what Jesus said would happen. It kind of feels almost like we're in a dress rehearsal of some kind, or maybe this is the real deal, what's going on, because the great apostasy that's already begun to happen, because the great apostasy will be people following, ultimately, an Antichrist figure, not just Antichrist ideas, which are present in the world today in such a significant way. But Paul says, Christ will come in the fullness of time. He's come to unite all things in him in heaven and on earth. And the church is that place where that unity is expressed, is meant to be expressed. And this is why the Lord is purifying his church today, because she needs it. The Lord is not only purifying with a redemptive discipline, not only pruning people in the church who've been producing fruit, because you prune branches that are bearing fruit so they can bear even more fruit, but he's also cutting off dead wood. People who are not living in the way Paul's describing here, the riches of what Christ has accomplished, the unity that he's after, it's not burning in their hearts. And the Lord needs to cut off that dead wood because the salt has gone flat, you know, the light has gone dim. And Jesus said, if that happens, it's no good to me. Does he love those he's cut off? You bet. Is he cutting them off now to be permanently cut off? No. He wants them to repent, but he doesn't want the church to live in lukewarmness, living as if she doesn't know who she is. Because it's a body in love with Jesus, united to him, along the way Paul is describing, that can bear fruit and that can stand even in the midst of the greatest trials, for the sake of the salvation of men and the glory of God. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.